Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Me and my best friends will sit in the living room for 7 hours. I'll yell out an NFL player and somebody will yell out what college he went to. 7 hours, that's all we do. I'm like, Brady Quinn. And somebody's like, yes!
Jeremy White.
Ryan Leaf. Let's go!
And Joe DiBiase.
Eric Decker. Let's go!
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Justin Fields, the Ohio State. I don't know why I did it that way. Sam Darnold, USC.
We get a harder one here.
Ryan Mallett. Ooh, Arkansas.
That's right. All right.
Yep. Come on. Ryan Mallett. These aren't nothing.
These aren't that hard.
Ryan Mallett.
I can give you a really hard one. Tony Romo.
Eastern Illinois.
It's also like an obscure, easy one.
Because mm-hmm. Why else would I know that Eastern Illinois exists? It's because Tony Romo went there.
That's right, that's right.
And played there.
That's kind of like Fred Jackson.
Co-college.
You're required to say tiny co-college.
Am I?
You have to say tiny co-college. It's the rule on the broadcast.
Yeah.
Yep. Of course, Fred Jackson from tiny co-college.
Uh-huh.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Happy Friday, Jeremy and Joe.
I didn't miss.
You didn't miss.
Good start to the morning.
Should I keep going until
just
you do?
Be a good extra. I mean, we could be here all day, though. I don't know
all
about
right.
that.
All right. Let's get a moderately tough one here. Like,
Romo was pretty tough.
Romo's not tough.
Eastern Illinois?
I mean, I asked all of them, which means that I knew all of them.
What's the nickname?
I got to ask you one I don't know.
What's the nickname for Eastern Illinois?
They're not the Salukis. That's Southern Illinois.
No, they're the Panthers.
Oh, obviously. There you go. Could have guessed that one,
that's
too.
That's an easy one.
Tyrese Halliburton.
Is he one of the Kentucky kids? Kentucky.
Is it bad I switched sports? Should I stayed in?
I know I had football, my football mind. He went to Iowa State. Oh, I did know that because Paul has brought him up before.
Yeah.
Yeah, Iowa State.
Anyway, good morning.
Right, there we go.
Paul's going to join us at 7. Talk little Sabres. Latest on the Sabres. The NHL draft is a week from today. Some fantasy chatter at 9 o'clock and, whatever else comes up along the way. We'll see if J.J. Paterka can be linked to any more teams. Can they get to 31 teams?
Well, what do we have so far? We have...
There's a new update from Frank Saravalli.
Okay, because we have the Rangers, we have Calgary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tampa?
Yes, he included the Lightning yesterday.
Okay. Is that it?
No, there's like 5 more.
There's 5 more?
Yes. Every time Frank Saravalli tweets, he's got like 3 more teams.
Okay.
Which, I've got no reason to believe that Frank has not been told these things. It's just a matter of, okay, we get it. The Paterka camp, I think the easiest way to kind of look through this is that the Paterka camp is quite eager to get it all out there.
Yeah.
Everybody's interested. So,
yep,
there you go. Another name. Maybe Friedman even threw a couple out there. Like, if you're an agent trying to get your player moved, you got to call multiple reporters.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, every team is interested.
I mean, shouldn't they be to some extent? Like, is there any reason to not want him as a player? He's really good.
He is good.
He's really good. He could become even better. He's 23.
Yep.
And he has yet to really play with star line mates for a whole season. He played with Tage and Tuck for like the end of the year 2 years ago and the beginning of last year. But even that is there. Like, I think last year Cousins was the most common line mate. So maybe a team could think, if we put him on our top line, he's going to score 35 goals and put up 85 points.
And that's pretty good.
And I think that's not that far-fetched for a team to think that he could do that. And he hasn't put up so much production yet that Like, if you wanted to sign him long term right now, you're not paying him $9-10 million a year, unless it's an offer sheet.
Well, if you're the Sabres, you might be paying him that because you're convincing him A, to stay, and B, you're buying up years of his unrestricted free agency where in a couple of years he might get that kind of money.
That's right. So. But the team that would trade for him right now, like if Tampa were to trade for him right now, he's not getting paid $9.5 million per year, right?
I don't think so.
You're maybe happier in this spot and we don't have as much cap space and you can throw the state tax thing in if you really need to, and it's okay, we're gonna give you eight.
Yeah.
We're gonna give you 7.5 or 8. We're not making you the highest paid forward on a team that has Nikita Kucherov, Braden Point, Jake Guentzel, Brandon Hagel, and so on and so forth.
Trade him for Brandon Hagel. Right the wrong that is letting Brandon Hagel leave.
I mean, he has no trade protection on his contract. He also is the guy that plays for Team Canada, so maybe one for one is not something Tampa would like to do there.
Paterka plays for Team Germany. That seems like a one for one.
Okay.
All right, we're talking both are international stars.
Okay, that's true.
Anyway, NHL offseason's upon us. It's the season to get mad about trades that you don't really care about because other teams are making trades.
Yes.
Did I need Eric Halla? I have no idea. I don't even care.
Nope.
Did I need Mason Marchment? Maybe. I don't even know. I don't care. Probably. I saw him on a list for some people. Mason Marchment just got traded from the Stars to Seattle for a third and a fourth, which this is the time of year where I feel required to say this. That is literally nothing. There is no value at all to a fourth-round pick. None.
Mm-mm.
And a third-round pick is just the thing you put in place of a thing that doesn't have any value. Third and fourth-round picks are meaningless in the NHL, for all intents and purposes. This is not an NFL third-round pick. You go look at the history of the Sabres third round, and you should trade your third-round pick. A third and a fourth for an NHL forward who is what? What do you know about Mason Marchment? He's mean?
He's big and he's mean and he scored 20 goals like 4 years in a row. It's 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row he scored 20 goals.
Third and a fourth.
Yeah. That's really nothing. The value Dallas is getting is that they are getting his salary off their books and then they can now pay Jason Robertson.
Right, which is...
Or should be able to pay Jason
Which
Robertson.
Is part of the speculation on like what this all means for Dallas. Trade a player for nothing. Another reason that the idea of fearing the salary cap in the NHL, like somebody's going to take that player for free.
Yeah.
You can just get off from that contract. So
really, when you put it that way, future considerations trades should really never exist because... like. Just sixth round pick in the NHL. It's already basically nothing.
Right.
Why do I actually have to acquire nothing? Just throw the late round pick in there, let alone, even third and a fourth. So, yeah, I did see that trade and saw that takeaway that, they might have enough space now to pay everybody. And kind of a letdown because Robertson was maybe my favorite idea
the Sabres. And you think he won't move now?
I think it's probably, unless they're about to go pay... everybody else, if they pay Jamie Benn to stay around because he's a free agent and he's been there forever, and if they're going to keep Duchesne around. But no, I think more likely is their star winger, no pun intended, who's still only 25 years old, they're going to give him a monster contract.
Yeah.
I think that's why you do that. Why do you trade a player that's pretty good, big and can score, and why do you trade that player off your roster for nothing? You're doing it because you're keeping Jason Robertson, not because you're keeping your old guys.
Do you want to try to guess? I mean, listen, it's a Friday, it's June, and I'm sorry for this kind of instant trivia I'm going to give you. You're waking up and you're like, you're about to ask this question.
Uh-huh.
You're going to do this, and I'm saying, I'm going
to
do it.
It's worse than where Tony Romo went to college?
Oh, yeah. The last Sabres third round pick to play 100 games in the NHL.
Ooh. To play 100 games 100. In the NHL?
Yeah. There's a span in here where they actually drafted this number pretty well. And your guy, Max Afinogenoff, by the way, was a third round draft pick.
Yes,
so
he was.
I don't want to say he played 650 games.
It's a great draft.
But the last time a third round pick for the Sabres played 100 games in the NHL, period. Not just for them.
Okay, so it's more recent than 1999 or 97, whenever Afinogenoff got drafted. The last third round pick. Okay.
I appreciate the music. I feel horrible for even asking this question. So let's save it for a trivia that people can play along with.
Did Nick Baptiste get to 100 games played?
He did not.
He didn't get to 100 games played?
That is a third-round pick. You've remembered a third-round pick.
That's really where I just wanted to start here. Like, remember guys that were third-round picks. Yep. I remember that the guy, he didn't get to 100 games. There's a referee now the Sabres drafted in the third round.
Justin Key.
Is it Key or Kea?
Justin Key.
Justin Key?
Yep.
Yeah, he's a ref. That doesn't count for 100 games?
No.
Third-round pick. Was, like, Aleš Kotalík a third round pick?
No, I'll just give it to you.
What year? Can you give me the year?
2009. They drafted him in 2009. So it was just 16 years ago.
Yeah, it's a long time.
A third round pick played 100 games in the NHL for the Sabres.
Not even like just for the Sabres, like for any
in the NHL. Yeah. 16 years ago he was drafted.
It's like TJ Brennan.
It's great. Go ahead.
Braden McNabb.
It's Braden McNabb.
Oh, okay.
That's the best trivia answer I've ever
had. They had a little run there where it's like Clark MacArthur, Andre Sequeira, Marc-Andre Grignani, Braden McNabb, Corey Tropp. And then fourth rounders, you've got your Foligno. Marcus Foligno's a fourth round pick. Matthew Barnaby's a fourth round pick.
That's a good one.
Will Borgen, Jacob Bryson, Chris Butler. So,
I mean, almost all of those guys are Darcy draft picks.
Yeah. You get some. You get some players. But why do I say it's worth nothing? It's because you could just get them for free. If you traded a fourth-round pick and like, oh, man, we need a fourth, you could just go get one at the draft.
Right.
We'll give you a fourth next year for a fourth now. Didn't Botchel do that once? Botchel traded down?
You can have
a third now for a fourth next year or something? He did that once.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a famous trade. Like in the anyway, whatever. The NHL draft's a week from today. I don't know what we're going on. How do we get here?
Anything past, like, really, I guess if you have a high second round pick, like, what is that? Like,
Paterka.
Is 30% to be like a full time NHL player? Like, it's a little bit more likely.
It's probably less than that. But it's Paterka. That's Paterka's a high second round pick.
Yep, that's right.
But once you get into the third and fourth round, like, especially for established NHL players,
right,
100 times out of 100, you should be making those moves. The Sabres can't fill out their roster and they're trying in free agency or whatever. Like, okay, trade 1,000 third and fourth round picks.
Well, like, okay, so should I be upset that they didn't make this trade? Like, you asked that, like, because this, not a player I thought about one time since the season's ended. He's not really a star player at all, but
would he play would he play on this team over any other individual?
You mean, like, would he be okay coming here? The guy that Dallas just traded to Seattle?
Sure.
Because if the answer is yes, then, like, okay, I can basically for nothing have a 6'5 guy who scores 20 goals. Like, sure, I'll take that.
There is one problem, though.
I don't know if he had trade protection or what. Because, like, that's where I kind of feel like I have to not care right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just have to make the playoffs and then everybody will be good. Like, if I'm the Sabres, I can't live in guys who want to be here world anymore. I've got to not care about it. Is Josh Norris happy that he's in Buffalo right now? That dude has to be, like, every day waking up like, am I really a Buffalo Sabre right now? He's watching Reinhardt lift the Stanley Cup and his teammates go to the playoffs. He didn't have any trade protection. He just got dealt to the Sabres, and he's under contract until, like, 2032.
Yeah, he was in Ottawa.
He was in Ottawa. Right. I don't even know. I'm just guesstimating. Like, he could be, like, I'm a Sabre?
Yeah.
And if I were the Sabres, I just wouldn't care about it. Wouldn't care.
Right. He might be one of the reasons that they actually can be good, is if he stays healthy, he's a good player, and we'll just wait to find out.
Marchman had 1 year left at 4.5, and he had a 10-team no-trade list.
Okay,
the Sabres were probably not going to be able to get him.
So, Jeff Merrick wrote something about the Marchman deal to Seattle. And this is like the bigger picture, because this is the thing where the Sabres are affected and there's not really much they can do about it. He wrote an important note about the Marchment-Seattle deal. Jim Nill sent Marchment to another no-state tax team. And he said, you don't want the rep of sending a player somewhere they don't want to go after they take less to play for you.
Mm.
So, hold on there. Mm-hmm. The league might think there's not a problem with the state tax imbalance. I'm inclined to think, whatever, it's fine. But here's Jeff Merrick saying that the player initially signed to play for less,
right,
because it was in Dallas,
right,
with a wink, wink, nudge, nudge to, I won't trade you someplace where you get hit for that. He traded him to another state where,
yeah,
and for what? For nothing.
For nothing.
I'm going to get rid of you. I'll take nothing in return and send you someplace where it's cool for you to go because we had this little arrangement on the no state tax deal. To me, if you're Gary Bettman, who, you know, nothing's ever wrong with the sport, according to him, I might not think about the state tax being a big deal. As soon as GMs are weaponizing it with each other and kind of colluding, isn't this a small level of collusion?
It's more colluding with
the player,
though, right? Okay, more than with another.
But if you're
another
now,
team,
now I've got to see. I've got a handful of GMs that get to work in one space, and a handful that don't get to go there. And there's an agreement.
Yeah.
I'm going to make an agreement with my players that if they take $1 million less, not only will it be the same, but I won't trade you somewhere where that ends up being less.
Mm-hmm.
And that's.
Right, I'm not going to trade you somewhere where your $4.5 million is going to get cut and 40% is going to get taken away because I decided to trade you to Toronto,
yeah.
For instance. When
and that's the tough part.
Yeah, that's tough because there would be guys, I'm sure, that not everybody, but there would be guys, maybe this was Marchment, where he thought, I could get $5.5 million
mm-hmm.
and I'll take $4.5 million from you. And then a year later, you trade him to a place where he could have got $5.5 million and
right.
It would have been better. It's kind of like an inner web of the GMs that are in charge of those teams, I guess, if that were to be a regular thing. But am I still to believe that this is something that would happen often?
Well,
hey, this player that Tampa signed to a good deal, they traded him to Vegas instead of to Chicago because of the contract that they signed and how Vegas doesn't have state tax and Chicago does. Because if that starts happening, like a lot, then that's a problem, I think.
The second part of this, rather, is, all right, why do so many Sabres players want out? I mean, the losing, this and that. Is there any element of it? Let's talk about this for J.G. Paterka. Here's Merrick saying that GMs and other markets know I can offer less. I can pay less mm-hmm. for the same player. Now, let's say I'm under contract. I'm Rasmus Dahlin. My contract's $11 million. You know, if I ask to be traded to one of these seven teams, I make $1 million more in addition to leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a financial incentive to leave, and now GMs work in that space. It's no longer.
Yeah.
I saw someone quote, I apologize, who quote tweeted it, but it was like, that Merrick tweet is the quiet part out loud, that the GMs are weaponizing it. And maybe we thought they were, but that's kind of quiet. And now it's about trades involving the state tax and doing right by a player. Not to send him some. Are the 10 no trade clause, no trade teams for a lot of these players the highest tax teams? It's a lot of Canada
mm-hmm.
and it's Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And it's. You might have
it's
to ask.
Teams that are probably bad and also. Like Seattle, for instance, like this guy's got a 10 team no trade list. You know, who are the Kraken, right? Who are the Seattle Kraken? They are a new team that made the playoffs a couple years ago and didn't do much, and then they've missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. And they had 76 points last year. How many players on the team can you name? Like, they're not really a team flush with stars, right? Shouldn't that a team like that be on a guy's no-trade list?
Yep.
Team that's not very good, doesn't have a lot really on the roster, and everything's kind of new there. They weren't on the list. I think maybe that would be more of it, that a team like Seattle could find themselves on a lot lesser of these lists, even though they're not winning. But it's, well, if I got to pick between a couple of teams that aren't winning, I'll leave off this team because my $4.5 million there is $4.5 million, and my $4.5 million in Columbus is going to be 2.8. You know, if the difference would be that high.
Right.
So I think it would be more of an impact that way. Like, because just in a hockey sense, make every argument in the world that Seattle should have been on that guy's 10-team no-trade list.
Yeah, probably.
But they're not. Unless they were and he waived it to go there. But at that point, why weren't they on it in the first place? I don't know.
803-0550, our phone number. So there you go. Deep into third-round picks and state tax to open the show.
Yeah.
Sorry. Apologies. But the NHL offseason's here. Multiple trades now. We've seen multiple trades. And, you know, kind of just waiting. The Paterka stuff continues to be pushed hard. His agent is clearly working.
Why would that be? Because he
wants out.
That reeks of like you're exhausting avenues to get out.
Yep.
To get a trade somewhere else. And that's really, I think, the only way you can do that
I'd look for any other explanation for somebody who thinks he doesn't want out and the reporting is wrong. Yeah. One or two reporters are linking every single possible team. And that's not coming from 8 to 9 teams are all individually telling these reporters. It's got to be, right? The most plausible explanation is the agent is saying, yeah, I've had a couple talks with so-and-so about an offer sheet, and they really like my guy, and they might make an offer.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be that. You have 8 sources giving you something or 1 source giving you 8 things. So I don't know. I don't think it's fake. I don't think it's off base. I just think the more and more you get, oh, by the way, 5 more teams. Okay. All right. I think it's pretty clear what's happening here with Paterka.
When do we know when teams can sign offer sheets? Like, can that can't happen right now?
I think
it's
the same as unrestricted free agency.
That's July 1st.
That's when the league year kind of starts, and yeah, you can sign at that
point. Right, because technically Paterka's still on his contract from last year.
Yep.
Until July 1st, when it becomes the RFA status. Okay, so July 1st.
So just to go back, I mean, the calendar might have changed slightly, but when Edmonton signed Vanek to that offer sheet, the Sabres had signed the match on July 6th. So.
Yeah, what was the day? Was it the same day as Drury and Briere that they signed the offer sheet, or was it the next day that Edmonton signed him? Not when the Sabres matched. Because the 6th, that's days later, I think. Right? Was there like a... Like, you would have been doing the show. Is there like a 3-day period where it's, are they going to match? Are they not going to match? Twitter doesn't exist then, so I don't know if there were like rumors.
I know that it didn't... you're allowed a week. And I know the Sabres did not take a full week. I don't know how much time they did take. I've been trying. I'm looking for that now. Maybe somebody out there remembers or somebody on the chat remembers. I don't think it was the next day that they matched. It might have been. It was fairly swift.
Yeah.
They both left on July 1st. And then maybe it's the 5th that the Oilers do that offer sheet. And the 6th, the Sabres call together their presser to announce it. And Darcy kind of said, you know, if you want to shop somewhere else, basically.
Yeah.
It'd be a tough one for him. Losing 2 players because, you know, they weren't going to pay. And then the Vanek offer sheet. I don't think it happened on July 1st because that would mean they waited 6 days, five days to announce that they were going to match it. I think it was more quick than that.
Yeah, the story I'm reading right now from that year was, it doesn't say when he signed it, but it says without hesitation, the Sabres decided to match.
Yep.
So they did it. Whatever they did it, it must have been very quickly.
Memories. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. There have been 9 offer sheets signed going back. Ryan Kessler.
Vanek?
Ryan Kessler, Thomas Vanek, Dustin Penner, David Backes, Steve Bernier, Nicholas Hjalmarsson.
And these are all players that retired years ago.
Ryan O'Reilly, and then Sebastian Aho. There was a 6-year gap to Aho, then Kotkaniemi in 2021. So we haven't seen one since 2021.
Last year there were 2.
That's right, the 2 Oilers Blues ones.
Broberg and Holloway, okay. I think were the 2. And they were small. Those were small ones. So.
Yeah.
Like, so it's only second round pick maybe was compensation. Like it was, I don't think a first round pick went to Edmonton.
Yeah, the most interesting one is Kotkaniemi, who signed a 1-year, $6 million offer sheet, where it was, he's overpaid now. You going to overpay him?
Well, and wasn't that seen as retaliation for Aho being offer sheeted?
Yes.
That's why they did that?
Mm-hmm. Then he went to Carolina.
Yeah.
And agreed to an 8-year extension.
Yeah.
So, anyway. 803-0550, good morning. Paul at 7. The Sabres and the offseason upon us, the draft a week away. And trades are already starting to happen in the NHL. We can chat about it with you as we roll through this warm, although nice today. It's going to be hot and humid for the next week.
Right into your 100 holes. 100
holes of golf, walking through humidity. You know it's bad when you see a map of the entire United States and they're talking about some sort of like generational humidity event. Like, okay.
Generational humidity events.
I might have made that up, but it seems
that's
what we're getting to.
Nothing has sounded worse ever than generational humidity event.
Yeah, Monday, Tuesday, 91, 80s the rest of the week. It's going to be a hot, hot weekend. So summer has arrived. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This core has been together for a long time, and we've been building to this moment all along. The work that's gone on behind the scenes, the conversations, the endless, you know, disappointments, and you know, some good times along the way, obviously, as well. We're all in this together, trying to get it over that finish line. With that being said, ultimately, still need to do what's best for me and my family, and you know, that's who you have to take care of first, but of course there's unfinished business here, yeah.
Connor McDavid. Everybody may be freaking out he might leave because that sounded like a guy that's going to leave. He sounded like a guy that's going to leave.
I think, or like, there are things he could have said yesterday that could have squashed that as a story in a debate maybe for the next couple of months, and I think he did the opposite yesterday.
Maybe doesn't know if he's going to leave, but maybe is very, very open to or thinking about his next step.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like, oh, yeah, we're going to get that done. Like, I don't want to go anywhere else. I want to be here. I want to retire here.
He did not say that. It was, if I believe that this is the best place to win, like, if I believe this is the best place to, like, that is not sounding like somebody who is very confident that it is the best place for you to win. And that there isn't somewhere else that you could find that would give you a better shot. I know they were just in the finals. But, I mean, he's in no rush, right? Like, I don't know. Sounded to me like he's very open to taking this into the final year of his contract, at the very least.
Yep.
Which I'm excited about. I mean, is that not – that is immediately the biggest story in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Him potentially going to a new team immediately is the biggest story in the league.
You wonder how Draisaitl would feel about that. He just resigned.
I know.
And, I mean, is McDavid going to go where? Toronto? Join Matthews? Is he going to go to Dallas?
How about Vegas if Eichel goes to Boston?
Vegas?
Vegas you is know, an
the
idea.
The thing I think of is there's always...
I think Tampa makes sense.
There's always the wild card team, and that's Gaudreau picking the Blue Jackets. What?
Yeah.
Why? It was a shock, and...
Right.
You know, I've got written down as a potential game if you want to play a game later, like McDavid to the Sabres or blank. What is more what would be more shocking in the sports world?
Than McDavid to the Sabres?
McDavid in unrestricted free agency saying, you know what, unfinished business. I thought I was gonna go there when I was 18.
Uh-huh.
And I've been thinking about it ever since.
We're gonna have a tough time, I think.
What if he's what if he's one of these guys that, you know, takes McNeese State to the Natty when he plays college football. He wants to get the D2 team. He's a project guy. He likes to, you know, build programs.
Listen, in those NCAA dynasties, what do you end up doing after you're at McNeese State for a couple of years?
You take the Bama job?
You go to Texas.
Who wants that?
You go to Texas or Bama or LSU. You don't stay there.
I mean, when from Pardon My Take.
He might already feel like he's been at his McNeese State
that
for
might
years.
Be right. But when, Pardon My Take, when Big Cat was doing all those college football games during like COVID and people were watching him stream games, he took Akron to the national championship.
Uh-huh.
There was an investment there.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, that's a reference. Eric in Lockport. Hey, Eric, good morning.
Morning, boys. How you been?
Good.
Well, I just kind of wanted to ask about, like, the state of the NHL in general. I mean, with the no movement and no trade clauses, I think it's bad for the league, to be honest. If you go through the standings year by year, I think it's pretty much created a situation where the standings are mostly static. I mean, you have a team that moves up here or moves down there, but it's basically the same teams in each division for about a decade. I mean, I don't know when the collective bargaining is up. I don't know what it would take, but I the NFL does not have this problem, and it's a way bigger league. I would have to imagine the player union has more power, and player movement is still a constant thing all the time, even great players. So I just don't know what the process would even be, but I honestly just don't even think that these movement clauses should be a thing, and that's just kind of what I wanted to say. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. The problem is, you know, you're asking the players to give any lever of control they have away. Like, you want to get a CBA where there are no movement clauses? Now it becomes, why would I ever sign an 8-year contract?
Right.
I can't sign with you. The no movement clause exists to protect a player from unpredictable changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you if you want even more player movement, because guys don't sign for long. What was the longest you would sign if you didn't know your team was going to trade you or if they would keep you? I'm not going to sign for 8 years. In 3 years, what if you send me to Winnipeg? Mm-hmm. I signed up to live in Tampa, and I don't want to live in Winnipeg. Or I signed up to live in Winnipeg. I don't want to live in Tampa.
Right.
There are some people that would be like that. So the no movement clauses protect the players.
Yeah.
And they also, even though these teams want to, well, teams like the Sabres would be upset about them existing and it makes their life harder, it's in large part it's a tool that the good teams get to reap the benefits of, because a player is more likely to commit if they know the commitment is real.
That's right. You also do get it in other sports, even if it's not written, right? Like, there's no trade protection stuff in the NFL, or are there? Are there no trade clauses in NFL contracts?
Mike Tomlin has one.
Mike Tomlin has one, because maybe there are some. Did Antonio Brown have one when he was getting traded to the Buffalo Bills? Or did he just tell the Bills and tell everybody, yeah, I'm not doing that?
Yeah.
And that's why it got nixed. That's the equivalent of a no trade clause, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not written into the contract. So, I don't know. I get it. It makes it harder for the teams like Buffalo and for Winnipeg and for Columbus and, you know, small market teams, some of which that don't have a lot of success, especially the Sabres. But I'm almost never for let me take anything away from the players and give it back to the owners, right? Like, those negotiations, especially the way the NHL operates with stuff, where like they use every little thing as a bargaining tool. Like, the Olympics were used as this
mm-hmm.
for years. Just like, ugh, it grosses me out the way the NHL does some of that stuff. So I'm not taking anything away from the players, personally.
Thanks, Eric.
Even though I know it does make life harder.
Yeah. Only for some teams, though. It only makes life harder for some teams.
How many really is it? Is it like 5 or 6?
No.
Where, like, you're on everybody's list.
No.
The Sabres, you're on, like, 90% of lists, or the Blue Jackets, or Winnipeg.
Most teams. How about that? It makes it harder for most teams, because it made it harder for Toronto. They asked Marner to waive his, and he said no. He was going to go away to Carolina. So, you know, sometimes it makes it tough for the team that has the player, not just, you know, if the Sabres and the Lightning have a trade in place and the player won't go to Buffalo, that doesn't just make it tough for Buffalo. That does also make it, loosely, tough for Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
We have a deal. We would like to do this. You won't waive it? All right, we're stuck. So, yeah, I don't think they're going away, and I'm not really inclined to say that they should either. I want players to have some level of protection.
Brian Burke, I guess I'm reading, did say something last year that a lot of times you'll see the modified no trade clauses that are really no Canada clauses. In other words, like, you'll get a 7-team list and they're just the 7 Canadian teams. So that depends. Like, that would imply that the Sabres are not on some list because of that, but right. That could be some players.
And is that just an income tax list?
Maybe, because in those markets, I think those are all the highest tax markets.
I don't want to sign 8 years for $40 million, and then I get traded 2 years in, and I make significantly less if you're a player that has the option.
Right.
I wonder if that state tax story and the income tax story in Canada, it's like the unsexiest story in the history of sports. Talking about who players are going to sign with based on their taxes, it's tough. But I wonder if it's going to start really taking over, and if it's just a reality the NHL will live with. I mean, other sports have the same reality. The NFL has teams in Florida and teams in New York, and mm-hmm. the NFL has teams in Dallas and teams in New England.
Right.
But in the NHL, it seems to be a real big discussion point for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, is this how this works? Like, how much of a difference it really does make? Like, the tax rate in Toronto is number one in the league at 53%. 53%. And it's zero in Tampa and Florida? Like, that is such an enormous difference that, like, it does, you're right, like, this is one area where it might impact some teams more than others. Toronto might be that team. I mean, look at some of the salaries of the Tampa Bay superstars, right? Like, all these players are, like, on a similar enough tier. Braden Point and Kucherov, and then in Toronto, Matthews and Marner and Nylander, if you want it. In Tampa, what do their superstars make salary cap-wise year to year? Like, what are their cap hits? If you look at their highest paid players, Kucherov at $9.5 million. Point, it's $9.5 million. Mm-hmm. Two of the best players in the world, $9.5 million. Part of that is probably tax. Matthews, who's in the highest tax market in the league, what's his cap hit for the lease? $13.25 million. Those three players are on the same tier in the league to me. Like, maybe you would say Matthews is the best of the three, but Point and Kucherov aren't that far behind. And it's a $4 million difference almost between the two. That's one where, like, I'm not going to cry foul for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but they are spending 11.5 on Nylander. Marner, if they got to keep him, would probably cost 14. Like, they're spending $4 or $5 million on their top guys than you're seeing in the Florida teams. That's maybe who it's killing the most.
803-0550. You guys trying to feel bad for?
I'm not. Right, I'm not trying to feel bad for the Maple Leafs, personally.
Yep. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe, Paul Hamilton, 7 o'clock. The latest on the Sabres, a week away now from the NHL draft. So, you know, we'll get Paul's thoughts on the draft class. He and Brayton talked yesterday with Mike Morial from NHL.com. And, you know, how good is the draft class? Where's the strength of the draft class? Some of that, but also, you know, what the Sabres and Jarmo Kekalainen and Kevin Adams might be thinking going in. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a ring here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Game 7 on the way between the Pacers and the Thunder, which, all right, a winner-take-all Game 7. That'll be Sunday, right?
Yes, Sunday at 8 o'clock.
That should be Sunday at, like, 6, if we're being honest. Come on.
Yeah.
It's a Sunday.
Yeah.
Come on.
You're not into this series?
Not really. I mean, I've watched a bit of it. It's
way closer than a lot of people anticipated.
Well, it's going 7 games.
Although I did say before that I thought the Pacers would make it close. Not this close, but it's been close.
They have a chance to win it, which is kind of amazing.
Blowing them out,
too.
Huge
underdogs entering this series.
Yep.
Stole game one, have won a couple games at home.
Yep.
You know what the series is missing?
What's that? LeBron?
A bad guy.
A bad guy? It's missing. Yeah, that's true.
It's missing a bad guy.
A villain.
There's no bad guy. Maybe some people, like, you're not a big fan of SGA's game.
Hate it.
It's free throw merchant, whatever.
That's me. Maybe that's why I'm more into it than you are, because I'm having an easy time rooting against a guy that plays that style winning, because it drives me nuts.
But that's such a soft bad guy.
You're right.
It really, the MVP goes to the free throw line too much.
He's pushing off again. No, you're right.
Like if you want,
it's a different type of. It's not Draymond elbowing a dude in the face for the ninth time.
Right.
And screaming at the refs.
Or it's not LeBron when he's in Miami, he's a bad guy.
Or Durant.
It's not Durant. It's not, you pick it.
How about just Boston?
Boston for me is
just having Boston in it is, that's your easy button villain.
Great example. Who did they play in the finals last year? I don't remember. I know that I rooted for that team. Who did they play?
Dallas.
Okay, I rooted for Dallas.
The Mavericks, yeah.
Yep. there's no bad guy. You might think the Lakers are a bad guy. I've rooted against the Lakers a million times.
Sure. Right.
There's just not there.
There's,
the Pacers cannot be a bad guy. And the Thunder are this new team that's built well and has a lot of cool things, and they've never both these teams, neither's ever won the title. I got nothing.
And I'm looking back at like past finals, and like they're really, you have something every year. Like Boston, maybe the year Denver played Miami in the finals, that was not that because you had an 8 seed that won this run. But the Warriors and Celtics, like, there you go. That's easy. You could have hated Draymond or you could have hated Boston. You have bad guys on both sides.
You could just hate the Warriors. In those series, I love the Warriors.
Yep.
Those are series that are stacked with star power.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's the other thing. Like, if the absence of the Raptors-Warriors series, like, maybe you still could have done the Warriors even though Durant got injured and didn't really play in it. But you had stars littered throughout it that, like, you... Steph and Clay on one side and Kawhi on the other. Like, you could have got to caring about it. So, I don't even know who I would begin. Other than, right, if you have a problem with the way SGA plays, that's kind of it. I don't know who else would you even do it with? I don't know. There probably isn't an answer. Was Reggie Miller a villain when he played in the 90s?
Sure, yeah.
And he's sitting on the sidelines.
Yep.
He's cheering, and he's at every game.
He's a guy that went into Madison Square Garden and talked the talk and backed it up. And
right.
I mean, he and Spike Lee.
Only a Knicks villain, though, or was he like a everybody villain?
That's a good question.
Because he was definitely a Knicks villain. I know that.
Yep.
But I don't remember, obviously, whether he was like... Because that's Draymond. Everybody has got an opinion about Draymond. And a lot of people, it's, look at this guy. He's punching people in the face.
Yeah. I wonder... If instead of the Pacers, it's the Knicks in this spot, if it's different, and who'd the Thunder beat in the Western Conference Final? It was
The Timberwolves.
Timberwolves. I mean, I don't know, the Timberwolves are moving the needle there.
No, like, you might not think so, but what you have right now in the NBA is you have a lot of new stars that are arriving about the same time.
Anthony Edwards is the guy in Minnesota. That's
the thing. Like, you start to evaluate their personalities because that's what makes villains. Is what's your personality like? SGA is kind of a quiet dude from Canada. Very, like, nice dude. Like, not just doing the Canada thing. Like, he's never seen him step in anything. Never gotten a big trash talker. Whereas, if Minnesota was in this series, Anthony Edwards is like a nutcase. Like, he's always trash talking. He's always getting into stuff. Like, you might not think of him as a villain right now because he hasn't played like in a finals. But if that dude was in the finals, he would have turned into that.
This is, and I say villain's a catch-all phrase. I would be rooting for that guy. I root for some villains.
Yeah,
if you are someone that's gonna be brash and like, I'm behind that.
Like, he's gonna be talking in the press conferences and maybe he's talking on social media. Right. Like,
and maybe that's just because. As we kind of sit here and say, it needs a villain. I like a villain to show up because a villain brings people to the intensity.
Mm-hmm.
So, 803-0550, our phone number. Paul, on the other side, the latest on Paterka, Byram, Tuck, the draft, which is a week from today. A little bit of Sabres offseason this week, of course. And we'll chat about it with Paul. He's coming up here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.